everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you in the driver's seat. Tom Fairbanks, my buddy, engineering and producing, is on the other side of the glass. We are off and running. Midweek edition already. It's Wednesday, November 20th, 2024. Happy birthday to Joe Biden. I believe President Biden's 82 today. And Tom, I love the Pacific Northwest. You know, I love visiting up in Seattle, but I don't want to be up there today. They're having what they call some kind of a storm bomb or something, the incredible winds.
I heard some of the weather forecasts talking about it yesterday, and they were saying that the depression was so low.
Yeah. The,
how is that measured?
The barometric pressure,
barometric pressure was so low.
Record
it
low.
Was hurricane level, crazy.
Crazy stuff. We're going to begin our 15th year with our radio program in January. We come to you from the Bustos Media Broadcast Complex, where we have five radio stations under one roof. We are in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. Our worldwide live listening and podcasts conveniently archive. Easy search engine to find really any show we've done at buckmastershow.com. The live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to our contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, the founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a professor of medicine and public health, internationally recognized as a leader in integrative health. Dr. Mazes is firmly committed to helping individuals lead healthier lives and in pioneering change efforts that can help solve the United States, the U.S. healthcare system challenges, and there are many. Together with her team at the Weil Center, she created and implemented education programs that have trained thousands of physicians, nurses, and other health professionals and impacted the care of millions of people. A highly sought-after speaker, she is the editor of the Oxford University textbook Integrative Women's Health and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. She co-hosts with Dr. Weil the popular podcast Body of Wonder and was named one of the world's 25 most intelligent optimists by Ode Magazine. You can find out more about her on the website Integrative Medicine at arizona.edu, and you follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Bill.
Well, it's almost Thanksgiving. Should we be getting to go through the kitchen and toss out some of the plastic, especially any black plastic item? What in the heck is going on?
Yeah, so this is some new research that was recently published, and it's really disconcerting. What they found is that many of the black plastic that's in our house is actually made from recycled materials. Now, of course, we want to believe that recycling is good and
yes.
We want to recycle. But in this case, those black plastics often have flame retardants because a lot of the black plastic comes from parts of electronics, and those electronics typically had flame retardants in them called brominated flame retardants, and they are considered toxic. They've mostly been outlawed, and so you're not going to see them necessarily in new electronics anymore, but in recycled materials, they have been showing up, and a study that looked carefully at things that we use all the time, like, you know, this spatula that we're, you know, going to flip our over-easy eggs with, or some of the children's toys that have plastic in them, black plastic, these turn out to contain a lot of these flame retardants.
So probably every kitchen that you could go to any kitchen probably in America and everybody's got a black spatula, right?
It's so true. And, you know, I saw this research and I tossed them all in the garbage.
Did you really?
You know, I did, because you could say, well, I've been using it all this time, but that doesn't mean we can't do better by, you know, getting rid of it now. We have no way of knowing if indeed these plastic spatulas have the flame retardants in them or not. So there's no way for us to look at the label and you know, discern. When they studied it, they found that 65% of 203 different products that were pulled off the shelves did have these kinds of flame retardants in them. That's a high enough percentage. You know, it wasn't like it was 1%, right? 65, two-thirds about. And so I think, you know, with this new research that just got published last month, it's evidence that this could be dangerous. And the other thing about a spatula is that, one, you heat it, right, because it's in contact with a hot pan, a hot frying pan, for example. There may be oil, you know, if you're cooking eggs, for example, there's oil in that pan. And so these are easy way to move some of the chemicals from that plastic into our food.
Should we replace that black spatula with wood or metal or even silicone?
Yes, so those are all good replacement suggestions. Glass and ceramic, of course, you don't have many ceramic spatulas, for example, but you might find a metal one, are going to be inert. And so you're not going to get little bits of glass into your food or little bits of metal. Silicone is definitely a better choice than these black plastic spatulas. Silicone probably is not quite as good because actually silicone is also a form of plastic, although it doesn't have those flame retardants in it.
So is there any way to know if your particular spatula or a black plastic hairbrush or a child's toy car is made of recycled plastic, say, from an old TV?
There's no way to know. And those are not all equivalent. So, as I just said, the spatula is in contact with heat and potentially oil, you know, a black spoon that you're mixing, say, a hot tomato sauce, is acid. All of those encourage the movement of that plastic into the food. Children's toy, kids put toys in their mouth all the time. So again, that's not good that the toy's going into their mouth. But if you take something that is not going to be absorbed, like a hairbrush, you're not really going to move the hairbrush into your hair. You know, it's mm-hmm. not going to move so easily. So I would be much less concerned about the hairbrush than the toy or the spatula.
Well, we've been told recycling is supposed to be good. So what's this? How does this fit into the narrative, Dr. Mazes?
Well, some people believe that plastic recycling, so that not all recycling, right? But plastic recycling may be a little bit of telling us a mistruth. So we used to send our plastic to China, and that was where it got recycled. But in 2017, China stopped accepting plastic as a recyclable material. And so we don't really have a way in the United States to manage all of the plastic. And so it ended up being thrown away. And then, you know, this issue of the potential toxins in the recycled materials is also an issue. So I don't think that means that recycling glass or paper or cardboard, it's different categories are different. But for a while, there's been an acknowledgement that most plastic does not actually get recycled.
These plastic islands floating in the Pacific and the Atlantic are so troubling, especially some of them in the Pacific. The most remote islands in Micronesia have piles of plastic trash on the beach.
Right. And, you know, that plastic that you see is concerning, but then there's the plastic you don't see. And so we think about microplastics and even nanoplastics. And, you know, these we're learning can have really significant adverse health effects. So it's not just that it's unsightly, for example, but it turns out that when you get exposed to micro or nanoplastic, it can cause inflammation. It can alter your immune function. It can have an effect that we call endocrine disruption, which means it alters the hormones of actions in your body. It can increase your risk of cancer. It can increase your risk of obesity. So these plastics have really significant health effects. And, you know, that's a good reason for us to say, how can we minimize plastic? As you said earlier, we can minimize plastic by using glass or ceramic or wood, depending on the issue. There are non-stick pans that have ceramic instead of the Teflon. We can carry our own stainless steel water bottle. We can use water filters that can filter out some of the plastics. We can use an air filter like a HEPA filter, because those micro and nano plastics sometimes end up in the dust in our home. And so vacuuming or using a HEPA filter helps reduce the dust.
All right. We'll continue with Dr. Victoria Mazes. But right now I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. They're getting ready now as Thanksgiving, hard to believe, is 1 week from tomorrow. So now is a great time to order your dinner rolls for your table and, of course, the all-important dessert. And everyone has certain favorites. Dr. Mazes, what do you lean toward? Are you the traditional pumpkin pie type?
I do like pie, I have to say, and especially a homemade pie.
Oh, we all do. And Tom on the other side of the glass would love to see a piece of chocolate cream pie on his Thanksgiving table. All right, Mona's Danish Bakery. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. They are home of the Danish Kringle, which just screams of the holidays. When I say Danish Kringle, you kind of think of Kris Kringle. Anyway, Mona's is up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Back with more with Dr. Victoria Mazes after this quick break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Take the Regional Transportation Authority's brief survey of its draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan. The 20-year RTA Next Draft Plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. The RTA Board will consider your feedback before it prepares a final draft for voter consideration as early as November 2025. We invite you to take our brief survey at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. During the break, we had an honorary vote for rhubarb pie on your Thanksgiving table. That's always a good choice. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is with us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and that is Dr. Victoria Mazes, founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes, some interesting news about hormone therapy for menopause remaining at historic lows despite the effectiveness and safety profile. This is very intriguing. I wonder why.
Yeah, so this is a long and complicated story, this use of hormone therapy for women going through menopause. First, let me say that it's incredibly effective. There are other ways, and in integrative medicine, we have lots of ways. We have supplements and herbal medicines and acupuncture and sometimes breath work. There's some new cooling devices. There's lots of ways to help manage menopausal symptoms, but about 75% of women have them, and sometimes they're bad, or sometimes they're associated with other things, like people have brain fog, or they're not sleeping well, they have night sweats. They feel irritable. They just really don't feel well. And before this study called the Women's Health Initiative was published in 2002, a much larger percentage of women used hormone therapies than since that study was published. And that's a problem because a lot of women feel pretty miserable, and we have a way to help them, and they're not getting it.
And do you think they're not getting it because they are worried about their safety, or what do you think some of the reasons are, Dr. Mazes?
Well, I think there's lots of reasons. So the Women's Health Initiative suggested that if you took hormone therapy, you had a higher rate of breast cancer, you had a higher rate of heart disease, you had a higher rate of stroke, and nobody wants those things.
No.
So people went off of hormone therapy in droves. But as we have looked at some of the flaws in that large study, we have found some really significant flaws. Like, for example, the increased risk of heart attack and strokes is now thought to be due to what we call the timing hypothesis, which is that in that study, because they wanted to see could you prevent cardiac disease, they gave the medicine, the hormones, to women in their 60s and 70s, which is when you start to be at a higher risk. That's not really how hormone therapy is usually prescribed. It's usually prescribed at the time of menopause, which is somewhere between 45 and 55. So women had been in menopause a long time and they were put on hormones, and that turns out to be a riskier way to prescribe them. If you prescribe them right at the time of menopause, they actually lower the risk of heart disease. So people don't necessarily know that. That's one reason. Another reason is during this period of time where we thought, oh, there's a lot of risk to taking hormones, we stopped training doctors in how to prescribe hormone therapy. So a lot of doctors actually aren't trained in knowing how to prescribe, and there's some nuances in prescribing them.
What are some of those nuances? This lack of education among providers is a big reason for the decline, apparently.
Yeah, so for example, I almost always prescribe estrogen, which is one of the female hormones, by patch, in other words, through the skin or transdermal, as opposed to orally. And I do that because when you give a woman estrogen through a patch, you can use a 20th of the dose, and I always think the lowest dose is the best dose. You don't get the negative effect on her cholesterol And you don't get the negative effect on blood clotting. So it's a much safer route to prescribe estrogen. On the other hand, the progesterone, which is the other female hormone, has to be prescribed by mouth. So that's an interesting nuance, right? Yeah. To give the safest form, I would say. There are transdermal forms, but they're not as safe as the micronized progesterone that's given orally.
One limitation, I understand, of the study was that it could not examine the rates of compounded hormone treatments use because those would not be reflected in insurance claims.
That's right. So the way they came up with very low percentages of women who were being prescribed hormone therapy is that they looked at national data about prescribing practices. And that national data came from databases that look at insurance and compounded hormone therapy, which is another way that some women do get hormones, are not part of those prescribed medicine coverages. And so it is possible that it's not as low as they thought because they left out the women who were getting compounded hormones.
So what's the bottom line here before we move on to briefly another topic?
The bottom line is if you have significant menopausal symptoms that aren't going away with the simple things one might do, hormone therapy could dramatically help, and that you should find a doctor who knows how to prescribe them.
Dr. Mazes, a third topic I want to touch briefly on. You know, so many people carry their own water container, but some folks just aren't cleaning them enough, and there's an issue with mold.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
That somehow we don't think about our water bottles in the same way. You know, I carry a water bottle all the time, and I don't put it in the dishwasher. A lot of my, you know, glassware, my mug when I have a cup of coffee, I put in the dishwasher. The dishwasher uses boiling water. It uses strong soap, and it comes out really clean. And my my water bottle, you know, I put a little dish soap and shake it up. But, you know, there's under the rim of where it seals. And so you really do want to get a little bottle brush in there and do some scrubbing because, as you just said, that is a place that mold can grow. And it's a place we don't really see into. It's a place that is often damp. And so we want to make sure that we clean it well.
And when we are talking about bottled water and water from the tap, do you have some advice for our listeners generally about the water we consume, Dr. Mazes?
I do. I think it is really good to drink tap water with one important caveat. Get a water filter. Mm-hmm. Whether that's a water filter that works under your sink or works on your refrigerator, or whether you get a reverse osmosis or a carbon filter, there's the Brita and the Zero Water. Filter your water because that will remove some of those chemicals we were talking about in the first segment that are really unhealthy. And it will reduce your reliance on plastic, which is also unhealthy. So drink tap water, but make sure you filter it.
And something that we have touched on in the past, and it's very important to bring up again, if you have a plastic bottle of water in your car, and this is especially important during a record-breaking summer heat, be very careful because these plastic chemicals leach off into the water.
That is true. And there was a study, and this wasn't water that was necessarily sitting in a car that had gone up to 120 degrees. This was a study that looked at liter-sized water bottles using new technology, and they found there were up to 240,000, you heard that number, almost a quarter of a million bits of micro and nanoplastics in a liter-sized bottle. A plastic bottle of water. Mm-hmm. So again, your tap or your tap plus a water filtration system is really going to be your best choice. And then, you know, just get used to carrying, whether it's a glass, sometimes those glass water bottles have a silicone sleeve to reduce the likelihood that they'll break, or a stainless steel, which also is nice because that can act as a thermos, so it can keep your water cool. So get used to, you know, living in our Arizona desert climate, get used to carrying your own water.
In the remaining minute, give us an update on the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine. A lot of exciting things have been happening. You're in new headquarters. And what are some of your hopes for the upcoming year, Dr. Mazes?
Yes, so we do have a really beautiful trio of new buildings, and we are developing programming for the public in those buildings that is under the title Centered at the Center. And so we're looking at cooking programs and programs on yoga and Tai Chi and Qigong and other forms of physical activity, other lectures, and we really look forward to welcoming the public into our beautiful new buildings.
Should we just Google Weil Center for Integrative Medicine? Is that the best way to find out more?
That would be a perfect way.
All right. Dr. Victoria Mazes, hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks.
You too, Bill. Happy Thanksgiving, and I'm grateful for you.
Well, thank you. I'm very thankful for you, and I'm filled with gratitude for you today. Thank you, Dr. Mazes.
Thank you.
All right. We can find out more about Dr. Victoria Mazes by going to integrativemedicine.arizona.edu. And you can find out more about Dr. Mazes on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Dr. Mazes. And you might want to check out her very popular podcast that she's been co-hosting with our friend Dr. Andrew Weil. The popular podcast is titled Body of Wonder. All right, we're at the midway point of the Buckmaster radio program. We'll take a break, and then in the house, ready to join me in studio, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. Back in a moment.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. Bill Buckmaster with you. Midway point of our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. We were talking about Thanksgiving and what pie and what kind of dinner rolls to have. Well, how about some decoration and poinsettias that are grown right here in Tucson at Green Things? I'm just blown away by this number. 20,000 poinsettias were grown right here at Green Things, family owned and operated since 1970. I think we can certainly say and agree on 13 acres of a grower's paradise. They're over at 3384 East River Road, greenthingsaz.com. The sister business has wonderful holiday decorations from all over the world, including some beautiful things from Mexico. That's Zocalo Village, also on site. AZ and their greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, that's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. But we are in studio with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. The news, first of all, very good to see you as usual, sir.
Yes, it's great to be back, Bill.
The news is out about a new Trump appointee, this time for an area that's very important in your life, education. Who has he selected? Who has he tapped to run the Department of Education?
Well, sadly, this is not a joke, and I'm actually being serious. No, this is not bizarro world. President Trump has actually tapped Linda McMahon of the World Wrestling Federation, or the WWE, who has absolutely no experience running schools, knowing anything about schools, knowing anything about public education. And it's sad to say that I'm not shocked, because this is kind of the standard operating procedure for the president-elect. These bizarre picks that have absolutely no background in the agencies that they're tapped to run, other than just being loyal. So it's bizarre, and this is an education secretary now who herself is embroiled in a very high-profile sex scandal, as her husband has been accused of sex trafficking and rape and sexual assault, and the jury is still out on what she knew and when she knew it. So just another day awaiting this new administration, Bill.
If one of her roles would be to eliminate the Department of Education, school board, education in this country is locally driven.
It is, and I think there's a lot of shock talk about the system collapsing if the U.S. Department of Education is eliminated. It really doesn't affect local school districts across the country because they are locally governed. And the state has a lot more authority through state departments of ed in terms of day-to-day operations. But where we will get hurt is access to block grants. There are millions and millions of dollars available through the U.S. Department of Education that are available for school districts in key areas like early childhood education, STEM initiatives for science, technology, and math, teacher retention initiatives. For all intents and purposes, would lose the ability to apply for those grants.
Some good news as far as the letter grades that are issued by the state education department. And when you started in the district 8 years ago, TUSD had 27 D and F schools. Now it's down to 4 D schools and no F schools.
We're very, very excited about this continuing journey of school improvement, and any success that we have seen is directly attributable to the talent of our teacher workforce and the amazing administrators and school principals that create the conditions for their success. But you're right, Bill. When our administration started, 27 DNF schools throughout the district, and now 8 years later, we're down to only 4 0F schools. And we're talking about 63 of the district's 89 schools mm-hmm. are either A or B rated, mm. not even C rated. Mm. 63 mm. carry the rating of an A or a B. So this is also the first time that the number of B and A schools outnumber the number of even C schools that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So we received word 3 weeks ago when the letter grades became official that we're officially a B-rated district.
Mm.
And I know that that disappoints a lot of our detractors.
That really, yeah, the narrative, this because the narrative has been this is a failing district yeah. and you cannot get a good education there.
Yeah. Well, I used to think when I started in TUSD about 10 years ago that those voices that were constantly criticizing the district, I used to think that it was because they were passionate about seeing the district improve. I just now think that there's a small number of voices, certainly not a large one, but there's a small number of voices that are very loud that they actually thrive and enjoy when the district fails, and they enjoy spreading misinformation.
And when they see yeah. a very negative story on the front page
they
of the
leave
paper,
with it.
They're very happy with it.
They, for some bizarre reason, it excites them. It brings them joy when the district stumbles. And when the district is successful, they do their best to either minimize that success or not even mention it at all.
Hmm. Catalina High School has been a real success story. Midtown high school that's been around with a real rich history. Things turned around at Catalina.
Catalina's doing an amazing job, and it should be mentioned that all of our TUSD high schools are now A or B rated. So that's amazing in and of itself. We don't have any C rated high schools, but Catalina is a place where one out of every four students is either an English language learner, a new refugee to our country, learning the language, or a student with disabilities in our special education program, or a student that is meeting the guidelines, the federal guidelines for poverty. And to have that kind of high needs student body and to have an excelling academic environment there, I think is a testament to the talent of the educators at that school. They're doing a great job.
Any other schools you want to quickly mention that you're very proud of?
Yeah, we're extremely proud of Wakefield Middle School. It's the newest middle school that now has earned the grade of an A. So we're very, very excited about the work that they've done as well.
Big morale booster, isn't it, for the employees?
It's a big morale booster for the employees and brings a sense of pride coming to work every single day. So just proud, tremendously proud of our teachers and our principals for this success.
The board, the governing board has, I think the vote passed, was it just 3-2 on the really sweeping climate change goals that were really student-driven?
Yeah, and so first of all,
what's that all about?
First of all, congratulations to our board members. All of our incumbents are coming back, so we're very happy about that election.
Dr. Shaw,
President Natalie Luna Rose, and then of course a governing board member Sadie Shaw. Mm-hmm. We're very proud of all three of our incumbents.
So you get continuity.
We get the continuity, and all three of them are very passionate about the job. They take the job very seriously. They're parents. They understand the district very well. They ask the hard questions. So we're excited to have them back.
Mm-hmm.
But with regard to governing board policy ECF, it was largely driven by a coalition of students, undergraduates from the University of Arizona, upperclassmen at the University High School that came together and said, hey, listen, we want to push this organization, one of the largest employers in the region, to be a leader in sustainability efforts and to take its responsibility to lessen its carbon footprint very, very seriously.
How do you do that?
This policy was born. It is very ambitious. And our team worked diligently with a group of student leaders to really set some long-term goals. Now, some goals I think are going to be easier to achieve than others. I think it's a great thing to be able to, for example, eliminate the usage of natural gas in our buildings totally in the next 10 years and mm-hmm. just move to electric heating and cooling. I think mm-hmm. that's a great thing, and I think that that's doable. I think we're going to see great gains in the electrification of our bus fleet, and we have the arrival of the first 10 electric buses. They just arrived last week. They're going to start running routes here soon. And our goal is in the next 20 years to have a fully electrified fleet. I think the goal of increasing the amount of power that electrifies our buildings that is provided by solar, taking that from 45% to 70% in the next 15 years. These are ambitious yet very, very attainable goals. Increasing the amount of our fields and our playing surfaces that are connected to the city's reclaimed water supply, I think, is also an ambitious goal for us as well. So I'm very proud of that policy. I know it wasn't a sweeping 5-0.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, 5-2.
We did get a 3-2 on
it. Or 3-2, excuse me.
Yeah, we did get a 3-2.
All right. Take a break right here. More with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, who is the superintendent of the, let me see if I got this right, third largest now school district after Mesa or what?
We are the third largest, yeah. And so, we may be two if Chandler keeps sustaining its losses. So Chandler's in front of us right now.
They're taking big hits.
They're taking some big enrollment hits, bigger than we've ever taken in the last 3 years. So
moving where? Where are the students moving?
That area in the East Valley, that sort of Mesa Chandler, is inundated with charters and privates. So they're getting nailed with the ESA vouchers more than we are.
All right. We'll take a break right here. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is with us. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Trujillo. We send so many, before we continue with him, I want to talk about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. I think this is just the perfect time of year to go over there. I'm looking at like Friday, if you're thinking about a weekend getaway, about 70 degrees, mid-30s overnight. That's good hiking weather in the Gila National Wilderness. And it's only a three-hour drive approximately from the Tucson area. You're going to have a great experience over in the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment. It's great, too. The elevation, same as Denver, about a mile high, and tons of outdoor activities. So I strongly put the Buckmaster travel recommendation on Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning by visiting their website, southwestnewmexico, spelled out, .org. One of the most important functions for Dr. Trujillo and his team at Tucson Unified School District is the security of the many students that they're really charged with, that it's their responsibility when these kids are on a TUSD campus. Let's talk a little bit about security. I know your team, the security team there, is really excited, aren't they?
Yeah, and you said it perfectly, Bill. The priority that is number one, even before learning can take place, is the safety and security of not only our students, but our employees. We have mothers and fathers and parents that serve as our employees that they need to go home safely to their kids and their loved ones. And then, of course, parents send us their most precious gifts in life. They send us their children, so we have to secure them. And we're very, very excited that our governing board took action at our last meeting in October to adopt the Syntegix wireless security / crisis notification system. In a nutshell, Bill, what it is just essentially a badge that all of our employees will be issued. It's a single badge. They wear it along with their TUSD ID badge, similar to what you see here.
How many people are we talking about?
We're talking about 7,900 employees.
That will all have this Is this the one is this a badge?
This is a badge that they all wear.
Wow.
And on the back of the badge, there will be a blank white fob, similar to what you use to get into a keyless entry system.
Yes.
The difference is that in the event of a classroom or a campus emergency, and it doesn't have to be an intruder. It could be a fight. It could be a student suspected of having a weapon, or in a worst case scenario, it could actually be an intruder. The employee, instead of having to fumble around for a cell phone or look for a radio or scream, simply touches the back of their ID, touches the fob area, and it sends a wireless signal to receptor domes that will be installed throughout our campuses and facilities. And that signal will send an emergency alert to the administrator's phone and then also to the school safety officer's phone.
This is state-of-the-art as far as a crisis alert technology.
And it uses GPS technology, so the administrators and the school safety officers will see the exact location where the emergency button has been pressed, and they'll be able to collapse onto the location. So we're very excited. We think this will make us significantly safer on a school-by-school basis.
It's really a one button that can save lives.
Yeah, it is. And the wireless receptor domes look a lot like Wi-Fi domes, and they'll be installed in every classroom and every hallway and every building, so that it's an instantaneous, just single with a touch to the back of your ID, help will be on the way. And we struggle as a district with dead spots for the radios that our security monitors carry, dead spots for cell phone coverage, especially out in the Southwest. I was at Cholla on a school visit a couple of weeks ago, and depending on the building I was at, my cell phone wouldn't work.
And
I was just thinking, this cannot be good for emergencies.
Yeah.
We struggle with intercom connectivity and getting intercom announcements communicated. So this, I think, is going to modernize our tool chest and significantly enhance our ability to keep everybody safe.
And I'm looking at the price tag. It seems like $5 million seems like, Dr. Trujillo, a very reasonable contract for such a high-end security system.
To do the entire district, all the schools, all the support facilities, it is very reasonable. There are yearly installments of $986,000. So, and a lot of that yearly price will go down because they've built in the one-time cost for the installation and the equipment. So we'll certainly start to see a reduction in that annual cost after year two.
And they will have that program available when?
We are now in planning. So our goal is to have the badges distributed and have all of the staff trained by early spring.
Coming up on the mid-year point of the school year with the Christmas break coming up December the 20th, how would you assess how we talked about the letter grades, very positive. What are you concerned with, though, for the remainder of the year, the 25 portion of the school year?
Well, we're concerned, number one, we have a close to $5 million deficit inside of the desegregation fund. So that's going to be a major project for this coming semester, is to work with our community and all of our schools in terms of bringing that deficit down so that we have a flat desegregation budget for the board to consider for 25-26. So that's going to be a big project for us. We're also doing some major work to plan for summer school. We're seeing less money than ever to be able to put together summer school, so it's going to be a dramatically smaller program. Figuring out our messaging and how we're going to make sure that parents have access to summer school, because it may not be at every campus, is going to be a major priority. And then we're going to be executing the move from our current offices at 1010 East 10th Street. I don't even know why I say the address. Mm-hmm. Everybody just knows 1010.
Yeah, they know 1010.
But we're going to be executing the move out of the Morrow Education Center over to the new building, and that'll be a major project for us. We're looking at a move out right around late April, early May. We're going to be doing a public study session at our upcoming board meeting to kind of lay out the details of the move. And then for budgetary transparency, we want to review the costs with the public so they can see we're doing everything we can to kind of keep everything at budget, under budget. We're moving into the building basically just at cost. We're not trying to do anything fancy.
Will the efficiency level go up? That's a 1950s designed building.
1968
built. Oh, 68.
It was recently renovated about 10 years ago. So it's in great shape. We're basically just doing painting and flooring, just mm-hmm. doing the basics.
Who gets that building?
The 1010?
Yeah.
1010, the 1010 East 10th Street property is currently on the market.
Oh.
So if you're a broker or you're a buyer, yeah, you're interested in a prime spot there by the University of Arizona, give us a call.
And you'll be going where?
We will be going to 220 West 6th Street.
Mm-hmm.
The general area is St. Mary's and the I-10, close to Davis. So we are a stone's throw away from Davis, one of our highest achieving magnet schools. So I'm very, very excited to be next door to Davis.
How did the enrollment numbers look here at the midway point?
The enrollment numbers look better than they did at the mid-year point last year, but that's not good. I can only say that they're better. We're last year
better
after
the 40th.
Better than
Chandler, I hope.
We're better than Chandler, yeah.
Where they're losing a lot of students, as you pointed out.
Last year at the 40th day, we were down about 850 students. This year, we're down just below 500. So we lost a little less than 500. I think the number was like 490. So any enrollment loss is not acceptable, but it is better. The loss wasn't as pronounced as what we saw a year ago. We are really looking to reimagine transportation for next year, because the families that have left the district that we've collected feedback from have noted that transportation is a major barrier. So we want to increase the frequency of routes, the availability of stops throughout our zones, to see if that might bring more people back in.
And as a listener just pointed out, you guys are moving to the old Tucson Electric Power building.
It is the old TEP building. Absolutely. Yep. Certainly not the new one downtown. I'd love to be at the new one downtown. Boy, that's a fancy digs.
Dr. Trujillo, always a pleasure. We'll wish you and yours and your team a wonderful holiday season. Good luck to you.
You too, Bill. All the best this holiday season.
Thank you very much. All right. On behalf of Dr. Trujillo, we're going to wrap up the Buckmaster Wednesday edition. Coming up tomorrow, Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham will be our guest on the program. Also want to say, on behalf of Tom, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well. Hope everybody has a great afternoon and evening.